It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
When was the last time you thought about restitution? It's probably been a while, if not longer. So let's explore the what, how, and why of restitution. Let's begin with a story. I was talking with another man about forgiveness, and the conversation transitioned into the issue of restitution. The man told me that as a young teenager, he had changed the price sticker on a model airplane kit in a store. He had replaced the real sticker with something from a much cheaper item. He then took it to the till. The cashier questioned the amount, but the young thief confirmed the sticker was right. Years later, that young man, who had now become a follower of Jesus, recalled the incident and knew he had to do something about it. He could not let it pass. He returned to the store and spoke with the manager. He told his story, confessing that what he had done was wrong and wanting to make amends. In response to the manager's question, the young man estimated he had stolen about $5, which back then was a couple of hours' labor. After recovering from the surprised confession, the manager responded with, "Pay that amount to a charity, and we'll call it even." Relieved, the young man left the store. He deposited $5 in the Salvation Army kettle that year, and if I understand correctly, he's done that every year since. The young man's act of restitution was necessary for at least three reasons, and we'll come back to why. What is restitution? We explored repentance in a previous podcast, this rich, grace-filled gift of God, which we defined in terms of a change of mind, emotion, and will towards self, towards sin, toward God, toward Christ. We also dealt with confession, which in simple terms was designated as repentance in words or repentance spoken. It's the expression of one's heart change of repentance. I describe restitution as repentance in works or repentance in action. Our English language Bibles use some evocative words to speak about restitution. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the usual word for restitution is shalem. It is a derivation of a word that you probably know, shalom. Shalom is often understood simply as peace, but it is far more than that. One Hebrew dictionary states that shalom has the general meaning of completion and fulfillment, of entering into a state of wholeness and unity, a restored relationship. The word translated restitution, shalem, also means repaying, making the other person whole again, whether financially or otherwise. It is like restoring the pieces of a broken plate to completeness. In the New Testament, the Greek word is apodidomai, and that conveys the idea of restitution. Literally, it means giving back. Taking these words together, restitution is giving back to someone to make them whole again. Here are some examples of restitution from the Bible. In the agrarian society of ancient Israel, laws for restitution existed for such things as injury or death of people or livestock, theft, and damage to crops. We read about that in Exodus chapter 21, verses 28 to Exodus 22, verse 17. For instance, if a person stole from another, the thief must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. Proverbs 6, verse 30 to 31. In the New Testament, terms such as pay back and restore are used for restitution. A scene involving a tax collector, Zacchaeus, is a case in point. Here's the interchange with Jesus in Luke 19, verses 8 to 9. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham." What does restitution look like for us today? How do we make restitution? Now, restitution is not an outmoded, irrelevant concept. It just is not taught very much. Here are three insights into what restitution may look like for us. First, if a person has stolen or damaged something, then genuine repentance is expressed not only by words of confession, but also by works of repayment to make the other person and their property whole again. Second, in many cases, people have a policy of insurance to cover loss or injury to property or people. If you cause damage or injury while, say, driving a car, your responsibility does not end with reporting it to the insurance company. My position is that genuine repentance includes your cooperation with the insurance company to ensure that the injured party is properly and promptly compensated for the loss and injury. This means telling the truth and ensuring the result is just and equitable. And third, sometimes restitution is just not possible. Think of an incident in which a drunk driver kills a child, or a person commits adultery. How did David make restitution for his adultery with Bathsheba, or the implicit murder of her husband, 2 Samuel 11? How can money make a grieving family whole again? How can money restore marital infidelity? Usually, the results of our sin have a permanent impact on others. Sin is like driving a nail into a piece of wood. Repentance and confession are like the nail being removed, yet the hole in the piece of wood remains. Why is restitution necessary? Here are three reasons why restitution is necessary. One, it restores wholeness. As we have seen for the victim, restitution restores a measure of wholeness. To the extent possible, the victim is repaid or compensated for the injury, damage, or loss caused by the offender. For the offender, restitution can also restore a degree of wholeness. In some way, as repentance is expressed in works, a healing begins in the life of the offender. Two, repentance evidenced. Restitution is evidence of genuine repentance for all to see. It reveals something of a heart that is being harmonized with God's desire for wholeness and peace. Recall Jesus' response to Zacchaeus, his commitment to restore what he had stolen as a tax collector. Today, salvation has come to this house. The tax collector's pledge of evidenced a newness of heart. And three, repetition hindered. Restitution impresses upon the offender something of the loss, pain, and cost of the offense, injury, or sin to the victim. The restoration of the victim, the cost of that restoration, the recognition of continuing effects of the offense, all these and more should act as a deterrence. The youthful thief in our opening story had learned a lesson that was reinforced when he made restitution. He never wanted to repeat that wrong. Let me close with this question. Is there restitution you need to make to another?
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.